Hello, listeners. No, wait, I mean, hi, guys. This is Laurel Stephen in Los Angeles, California, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year, and lots of vampires and ghosties and ghoulies and, you know, stuff like that.
Sometimes, an occasional podcast with me, Mike Bennett. Yes, Merry Christmas, patrons, one and all. This is the Patreon Christmas Sometimes Special. That's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? Which features not only my festive greetings to you, but also the festive greetings of some of you. Yes, on the last podcast I put out on Patreon, I asked you for your festive messages of good cheer and all that sort of thing, and you replied in your tens. 10, actually, and then I cut it off. Of course, I had to cut it off because there's only room for so much on the show, because I have to have my bit, don't I? You know. But anyway, the point is that, yes, 10 of you did reply, which is wonderful, and you've already heard Laurel there kicking things off at the start of the show, and a very Merry Christmas to you too, Laurel. Thank you for your message. We'll be hearing more greetings over the course of the show. But first, now, I don't know if you listened to the public Christmas podcast I put out the other day, but yeah, I can't imagine that you necessarily did, because it was episode 3 of the Thing on the Doorstep, which you, of course, being patrons, had that ages ago, didn't you? But, you know, anyway, in that episode, I played my favourite Podsafe seasonal song by the Elves of Heaven, which I play every year, as predictably as a supermarket in the UK playing Last Christmas by Wham, or Driving Home for Christmas by Chris Rea, or, you know, any of the others that they play. It's funny how they've stopped all that now, isn't it? The old Christmas songs that used to be every year, they, you know, every significant pop star of the year seemingly would try to bring out some Christmas song, and there was a big frantic, you know, push to get the Christmas number one. And they just don't do that anymore, do they? The other day, my wife and I were just, you know, chatting about what we thought was the last sort of proper Christmassy Christmas number one hit in the UK, and we thought it was probably that East 17 song, you know, Stay Now, Baby, if you're getting anything, you know, that thing, which isn't actually a Christmas song. It's just a track they released at Christmas and chucked a lot of Christmas bells on it to make it sound Christmassy, you know, to get the Christmas number one spot. And they did. So not really, you know, a proper Christmas song. Just, you know, 3 out of 10, I suppose, for festive effort by putting the bells on there. But, you know, it did have the bells, so I suppose it counts. And another one, which they always play at Christmas, that's not a Christmas song at all, is The Power of Love by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. I mean, that doesn't have the word Christmas in it anywhere, and it doesn't even have bells on. It was just a Christmas number one. It just happened to be number one at Christmas, but it's not a Christmas song. Oh, I don't know, just forgive me, it's just a middle-aged rant. You know, no, I'll just carry on for just a little bit longer, because they were so keen to keep this kind of Christmas number one frenzy going, even when the dead horse of the music charts was flogged, you know, to death and beyond. What was it, song they tried to sort of tout as a Christmas song that wasn't? Mad World, you know, when there was that cover version of the Tears for Fears song, Mad World, by, you know, sort of Donnie Darko, I can't remember who did it. But for a while, that, you know, that would be played in supermarkets and stuff at Christmas. And, you know, and that wasn't a Christmas song either. Ugh, I get so cross over these sort of stupid, pointless things. It's probably just a middle-aged thing. I don't know. Well, anyway, forgive me. Rant over. Anyway, yes, I don't know. You know, what's your favourite Christmas song? Mine changes all the time, you know. I think this year it's probably, because I was in a shop the other day and I was listening to it, and I thought, God, this really is a very good song, even though I've heard it like a gabillion times. And that was Merry Christmas, Everybody by Slade. You know, it changes every year, of course, but I bought Michael Bublé's Christmas album a few years ago, and yeah, I dare say many of you did too. Of course, he doesn't cover Slade's Merry Christmas, Everybody, for some reason. Can't think why. And he didn't cover this one either.
want the hippopotamus for Christmas. A hippopotamus is all I want. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want the hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want the hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind you. He won't have to use our dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door, that's the easy thing to do. I can see me now on Christmas morning, creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes. See my hippo hero standing there. I want the hippopotamus for Christmas. A hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles or rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. A hippopotamus is all I want. Pop says a hippo will eat me up and then. Teacher says a hippo is a vegetarian. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. The kind I saw last summer in the zoo. We've got room for him in our garage. We feed him there and wash him there and give him his massage. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes to see my hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No kangaroos or duck or platypuses. I only like hippopotamuses and hippopotamuses like me too.
The Three Stooges there, and I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. It's a simple wish, shared by so many of us, and yet invariably denied. Because a hippopotamus isn't just for Christmas, it's for life. Hmm? Yes. Anyway, Christmas hippopotamuses aside, over to my guests for some more Christmas messages.
Hello, Patreon sect. This is Paco, wishing you a happy holiday season from San Juan, Puerto Rico. I hope you all have a great 2016, and may it be full of peace, health, love, gold, and time.
Hi, Mike. It's Steve Nelson here from Hertfordshire, England. Just to say Merry Christmas to you, and if you would say Merry Christmas to my daughter, Christina. We both listen together to the Underground, and we think it's brilliant.
Hey everyone, this is Drew Rothman from Cleveland, Ohio, longtime listener and occasional music composer for the Mike Bennett Podcasts, wishing all of my fellow fans and sect members a very happy holiday season and a wonderful 2016.
Many, many thanks and a very Merry Christmas to Paco, Steve, and his daughter Christina, and our resident maestro there, Drew Rothman, who of course did the After the Plague theme, amongst other bits and pieces here and there. Merry Christmas, one and all.
Christmas, everybody!
Yes, Merry Christmas. Later on in the show, we'll be taking a trip down to the kitchen in this, my current abode, a rental house in Wexford, Ireland, to take a look in my festive fridge.
Ooh!
Yes, I thought you'd like that. Though, you know, I can't promise much in the way of, you know, things like turkey and stuffing and whatnot, because we're going to be going away to my wife's sister's house tomorrow for Christmas lunch and whatnot. And, you know, her husband's, you know, a bit of a sort of a cooking person, you know, what do you call them? He's a cook. Well, he's not actually a cook. He's not a professional chef, but he likes to cook. Anyway, yeah, so he's doing the cooking. And he's very good at it. He'll be laying on, you know, ooh, I don't know, a festive feast fit for a king. And, well, you know, I'll probably be taking up the Gaviscon with me, because I'm not really used to festive feasts fit for kings, you know, lots and lots of food and puddings and whatnot. As you know, I'm more of a kind of a fish sauce and ghee and peanut butter kind of a person. But, you know, anyway, we'll take a look into my festive fridge later on and see what's in there all the same. But first, as I was saying earlier, there was a public podcast a few days ago, and on that, Mr. Yip, who's turned up again for Christmas, as he usually does, inveigled my senses with the promise of his mince pies. And since we've kind of been frozen in time here in my house since that podcast went out, I am happy to say that the aroma of mince pies is still filling the house, and Mr. Yip is here with me now to take me over to the dining table to tuck into his festive fare. Aren't you, Mr. Yip? Come on then, let's go and give those pies of yours a taste, shall we? They look delicious, and I'll tuck into them right after we hear from a few more of my guests with their festive messages.
Hello, sect members. This is J. Alexander Greenwood, author of the John Pilot Mystery Series, and a big fan of all things Mike Bennett. Hoping that under your tree is something ghoulishly great, or maybe just some more Mike Bennett, or even a John Pilot mystery. Happy holidays, everyone.
Hello, Planet UNF. This is John Cape from a very windy Bletchley in Buckinghamshire in the UK, wishing all the sect members a very happy Christmas and a very safe and prosperous New Year.
Hi Mike, I'm Mrs. Mike, IUNF Universe. I hope you have a good holiday. I hope you're enjoying your new home, even if it does have holes in the walls, which is very strange, by the way. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Festivus, all that junk. Bye.
Fabulous. Merry Christmas and many thanks to J. Alexander Greenwood, author of the John Pilot novels, John Cape, who of course does a lot of the cover artwork for my podcasts, and Aaron Wilson for those smashing messages of festive cheer. Merry Christmas all! Oh, yes, sorry, Mr. Yip, sorry. Your pies, yes, thank you. Well, look at this. Beautiful looking pies, beautiful, lovely brown crust, dusted with that sort of powdery thing that people dust on pies, and these lovely scoops of fresh vanilla ice cream. I say, this really is something, isn't it? Let's go. Here we go, Mr. Thank you. Oh, shut up. Mr. Yip, I don't know if you know it, but mince pies aren't supposed to have minced meat in them. No. Mince pie is supposed to have, like, you know, sort of, there's a special type of fruit which they put in mince pies. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's, you know, it's not minced beef. No, I'm afraid not. Do I like it? It's not really. Oh no, patrons, he's sad. I've never seen him sad before. Oh, well, there's only one thing for it. But wait, Mr. Yip. I do believe you've come up with a new culinary delight. For even though this isn't a traditional Christmas mince pie, even though it's minced beef with in a sugar-frosted pastry casing served with ice cream, I have to say it's absolutely lovely. I'm just going to have some more. This is lovely. Oh, yeah. Delicious, Mr. Yip. Thank you so much. Now, let's tuck into the rest of them, shall we? While the listeners enjoy the next instalment of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Episode 2. When Scrooge awoke, it was so dark that looking out of bed, he could scarcely distinguish the transparent window from the opaque walls of his chamber. He was endeavouring to pierce the darkness with his ferret eyes when the chimes of a neighbouring church struck the four quarters, so he listened for the hour. To his great astonishment, the heavy bell went on from 6 to 7, from 7 to 8, and regularly up to 12, then stopped. 12? It was past 2 when he went to bed. The clock was wrong. An icicle must have got into the works. 12? He touched the spring of his repeater to correct this most preposterous clock. Its rapid little pulse beat 12 and stopped.
"Why, it isn't possible," said Scrooge, "that I can have slept through a whole day and far into another night. It isn't possible that anything has happened to the sun, and this is 12 at noon."
The idea being an alarming one, he scrambled out of bed and groped his way to the window. He was obliged to rub the frost off with the sleeve of his dressing gown before he could see anything, and could see very little then. All he could make out was that it was still very foggy and extremely cold, and that there was no noise of people running to and fro and making a great stir, as there unquestionably would have been if night had beaten off bright day and taken possession of the world. This was a great relief, because 3 days after sight of this first exchange, pay to Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge or his order, and so forth, would have become a mere United States security if there were no days to count by. Scrooge went to bed again, and thought and thought, and thought it over and over, and could make nothing of it. The more he thought, the more perplexed he was, and the more he endeavoured not to think, the more he thought. Marley's ghost bothered him exceedingly. Every time he resolved within himself, after mature inquiry, that it was all a dream, his mind flew back again, like a strong spring released, to its first position, and presented the same problem to be worked all through. Was it a dream or not? Scrooge lay in this state until the chime had gone 3 quarters more, when he remembered, on a sudden, that the ghost had warned him of a visitation when the bell tolled 1. He resolved to lie awake until the hour was past, and, considering that he could no more go to sleep than go to heaven, this was, perhaps, the wisest resolution in his power. The quarter was so long that he was more than once convinced he must have sunk into a doze unconsciously and missed the clock. At length it broke upon his listening ear. "Ding dong!"
"A quarter past," said Scrooge, counting.
"Ding dong!"
"Half past," said Scrooge.
"Ding dong!"
"A quarter to it," said Scrooge.
"Ding dong!"
"The hour itself," said Scrooge triumphantly, "and nothing else."
He spoke before the hour bell sounded, which it now did with a deep, dull, hollow, melancholy 1. Light flashed up in the room upon the instant, and the curtains of his bed were drawn. The curtains of his bed were drawn aside, I tell you, by a hand, not the curtains at his feet, nor the curtains at his back, but those to which his face was addressed. The curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge, starting up into a half-recumbent attitude, found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. As close to it as I am now to you, and I am standing in the spirit at your elbow. It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old man, viewed through some supernatural medium, which gave him the appearance of having receded from the view and being diminished to a child's proportions. Its hair, which hung about its neck and down its back, was white, as if with age, and yet the face had not a wrinkle in it, and the tenderest bloom was on the skin. The arms were very long and muscular, the hands the same, as if its hold were of uncommon strength. Its legs and feet, most delicately formed, were, like those upper members, bare. It wore a tunic of the purest white, and round its waist was bound a lustrous belt, the sheen of which was beautiful. It held a branch of fresh green holly in its hand, and in singular contradiction of that wintry emblem, had its dress trimmed with summer flowers. But the strangest thing about it was that from the crown of its head there sprung a bright, clear jet of light, by which all this was visible, and, which was doubtless the occasion of its using in its duller moments, a great extinguisher for a cap, which it now held under its arm. Even this, though, when Scrooge looked at it with increasing steadiness, was not its strangest quality. For as its belt sparkled and glittered, now in one part and now in another, and what was light one instant at another time was dark, so the figure itself fluctuated in its distinctness, being now a thing with one arm, now with one leg, now with 20 legs, now a pair of legs without a head, now a head without a body, of which dissolving parts no outline would be visible in the dense gloom wherein they melted away. And in the very wonder of this, it would be itself again, distinct and clear as ever.
"Are you the spirit, sir, whose coming was foretold to me?"
asked Scrooge.
"I am." The voice was soft and gentle, singularly low, as if, instead of being so close beside him, it were at a distance.
"Who and what are you?"
Scrooge demanded.
"I am the ghost of Christmas past."
"Long past?"
inquired Scrooge, observant of its dwarfish stature.
"No, your past."
Perhaps Scrooge could not have told anybody why, if anybody could have asked him, but he had a special desire to see the spirit in his cap, and begged him to be covered.
"What?" exclaimed the ghost. "Would you so soon put out with worldly hands the light I give? Is it not enough that you are one of those whose passions made this cap, and force me through whole trains of years to wear it low upon my brow?"
Scrooge reverently disclaimed all intention to offend, or any knowledge of having wilfully bonneted the spirit at any period of his life. He then made bold to inquire what business brought him there.
"Your welfare," said the ghost.
Scrooge expressed himself much obliged, but could not help thinking that a night of unbroken rest would have been more conducive to that end. The spirit must have heard him thinking, for it said immediately,
"Your reclamation, then. Take heed."
It put out its strong hand as it spoke, and clasped him gently by the arm.
"Rise and walk with me."
It would have been in vain for Scrooge to plead that the weather and the hour were not adapted to pedestrian purposes, that bed was warm, and that the thermometer was a long way below freezing, that he was clad but lightly in his slippers, dressing gown and nightcap, and that he had a cold upon him at that time. The grasp, though gentle as a woman's hand, was not to be resisted. He rose, but, finding that the spirit made towards the window, clasped its robe in supplication.
"I am mortal," Scrooge remonstrated, "and liable to fall."
"Bear but a touch of my hand there," said the spirit, laying it upon his heart, "and you shall be upheld in more than this."
As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road, with fields on either hand. The city had entirely vanished. Not a vestige of it was to be seen. The darkness and the mist had vanished with it, for it was a clear, cold winter day, with the snow upon the ground.
"Good heaven!"
said Scrooge, clasping his hands together as he looked about him.
"I was bred in this place. I was a boy here."
The spirit gazed upon him mildly. Its gentle touch, though it had been light and instantaneous, appeared still present to the old man's sense of feeling. He was conscious of a thousand odours floating in the air, each one connected with a thousand thoughts and hopes and joys and cares, long, long forgotten. "Your lip is trembling," said the ghost. "And what is that upon your cheek?" Scrooge muttered, with an unusual catching in his voice, that it was a pimple, and begged the ghost to lead him where he would. "You recollect the way?" inquired the spirit.
"Remember it?" cried Scrooge, with fervour. "I could walk it blindfold."
"Strange to have forgotten it for so many years," observed the ghost. "Let us go on." They walked along the road, Scrooge recognising every gate and post and tree, until a little market town appeared in the distance, with its bridge, its church, and winding river. Some shaggy ponies now were seen trotting towards them, with boys upon their backs, who called to other boys in country gigs and carts driven by farmers. All these boys were in great spirits and shouted to each other until the broad fields were so full of merry music that the crisp air laughed to hear it.
"These are but shadows of the things that have been," said the ghost. "They have no consciousness of us."
The jocund travellers came on, and as they came, Scrooge knew and named them every one. Why was he rejoiced beyond all bounds to see them? Why did his cold eye glisten and his heart leap up as they went past? Why was he filled with gladness when he heard them give each other Merry Christmas as they parted at crossroads and byways for their several homes? What was Merry Christmas to Scrooge? Out upon Merry Christmas, what good had it ever done to him?
"The school is not quite deserted," said the ghost. "A solitary child, neglected by his friends, is left there still."
Scrooge said he knew it, and he sobbed. They left the high road by a well-remembered lane, and soon approached a mansion of dull red brick, with a little weathercock-surmounted cupola on the roof, and a bell hanging in it. It was a large house, but one of broken fortunes, for the spacious offices were little used. Their walls were damp and mossy, their windows broken, and their gates decayed. Fowls clucked and strutted in the stables, and the coach-houses and sheds were overrun with grass. Nor was it more retentive of its ancient state within, for entering the dreary hall and glancing through the open doors of many rooms, they found them poorly furnished, cold and vast. There was an earthly savour in the air, a chilly bareness in the place which associated itself somehow with too much getting up by candlelight and not too much to eat. They went, the ghost and Scrooge, across the hall to a door at the back of the house. It opened before them and disclosed a long, bare, melancholy room, made barer still by lines of plain deal forms and desks. At one of these, a lonely boy was reading near a feeble fire, and Scrooge sat down upon a form and wept to see his poor forgotten self as he had used to be. Not a latent echo in the house, not a squeak and scuffle from the mice behind the panelling, not a drip from the half-thawed waterspout in the dull yard behind, not a sigh among the leafless boughs of one despondent poplar, not the idle swinging of an empty storehouse door. No, not a clicking in the fire, but fell upon the heart of Scrooge with softening influence, and gave a freer passage to his tears. The spirit touched him on the arm,
and pointed to his younger self, intent upon his reading. Suddenly, a man in foreign garments, wonderfully real and distinct to look at, stood outside the window with an axe stuck in his belt, and leading by the bridle an ass laden with wood.
"Why, it's Ali Baba!"
Scrooge exclaimed in ecstasy.
"It's dear old honest Ali Baba! Yes, yes, I know. One Christmas time when yonder solitary child was left here all alone, he did come, for the first time, just like that. Poor boy, and Valentine,"
said Scrooge.
"And his wild brother, Orson, there they go. And what's his name, who was put down in his drawers asleep at the gate of Damascus? Don't you see him? And the Sultan's groom turned upside down by the genie. There he is upon his head. Serve him right. I'm glad of it. What business had he to be married to the princess?"
To hear Scrooge expending all the earnestness of his nature on such subjects in a most extraordinary voice between laughing and crying, and to see his heightened and excited face, would have been a surprise to his business friends in the city indeed.
"There's the parrot," cried Scrooge, "green body and yellow tail, with a thing like a lettuce growing out of the top of his head. There he is. Poor Robin Crusoe, he called him, when he came home again after sailing around the island. Poor Robin Crusoe, where have you been, Robin Crusoe? The man he thought was dreaming, but he wasn't. It was the parrot, you know. There goes Friday, running for his life to the little creek. Holla! Hoop! Hello!"
Then, with a rapidity of transition very foreign to his usual character, he said in pity for his former self,
"Poor boy,"
and cried again.
"I wish,"
Scrooge muttered, putting his hand in his pocket and looking about him after drying his eyes with his cuff.
"But it's too late now."
"What is the matter?" asked the spirit.
"Oh, nothing," said Scrooge. "Nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should have liked to have given him something, that's all."
The ghost smiled thoughtfully and waved its hand, saying as it did so, "Let us see another Christmas."
Well, there we are, patrons. I hope you enjoyed that. We're obviously going to be keeping the festive spirit in our hearts into the new year, as Scrooge's ghostly odyssey continues here on Patreon over the weeks to come. But now, it's the moment you've been waiting for. It's What's in My Festive Fridge? Well, here we are at the new fridge. This is the fridge here. It's very big. It's much taller than me. And weirdly, the top shelves are so high that you can't actually see what's on them. Well, very well. What do we have in here today? We have some Kalamata and green olives. Whatever the hell Kalamata is. With feta. That's nice. A stub of chorizo sausage. What is that? That's a sort of, what do they call that? A tray of tomatoes. Cherry on the vine tomatoes. We've got some, that is mozzarella. And that's hummus. There's some hummus there. There's some cheese, Wexford cheese. Do you know, I can't actually eat cheese and milk anymore. Because I get, I find that I get, you know, like kind of catarrh. So when I'm you know, I'll have milk or something or cheese. And then I'm like this. all the time, you know, and it takes about an hour, then it clears, and you know, so you know, tea with milk, all that kind of thing, it's all a thing of the past for me. I'm hoping I can stop for a while and you know, like cut it out of my diet and things will return to normal, but if not, then I guess that mozzarella and the Wexford cheese and all the rest of it is something that my wife alone can enjoy. Anyway, moving down through the fridge, we've got some grapes there, some green grapes.
This is, what is this? Kill Keely cholesterol lowering spread. I got that because I thought it'd be a nice alternative to butter, even though it had milk in it, because it's a very small amount of milk. But alas, even a small amount of milk is unfortunately out of the question for me. Here we have a jar of Buna, a stub of aubergine, eggplant if you're in the States, a bag of Brussels sprouts. Now, I bought these, you know, and my wife said, why are you buying those? Because, you know, we never eat sprouts. And I said, well, you know, it's not usually Christmas, is it? So I'm going to put this into a bubble and squeak, probably later on, because I'm a great fan of bubble and squeak. And my wife will eat it, you know, if I put it in front of her, optimistically. What's this next to it? That's Parmesan. That's the stuff, Parmesan. Couple of stubs of lemon there. I've started to put lemon in my tea instead of milk, and I must say I'm a big fan. Next to that, we've got some, what is that? That's coleslaw, a bowl with a couple of pieces of chicken in it. Very nice. Here, this is some festive stuff we're taking up to my in-laws tomorrow. We've got some deliciously vibrant antipasti selection platter, which has got nuts and olives and large red things. What are they? They're called pesto peppers. I don't know. Well, anyway, very nice. Under that, some Spanish Iberico charcuterie. Basically, it looks like it's a selection of cold meats from Spain. Under that, some cheese, a Christmas cheese selection, which I, again, can't enjoy. Some butter. I can't enjoy that either. Then down here in the vegetable tray, we've got some broccoli, a yellow pepper, a green pepper, and a red pepper. What's that? That's celery. A couple of bags of carrots. Not getting through the carrots as quickly as we should do. Over here in the fridge door, what is that? Wexford home-produced raspberry and Bramley apple jam. Pint of milk, can't have that. Half a bottle, very tiny bottle, you know, one of those ones you get in pubs, of white wine. Black olives, jar of black olives, jar of green olives. Down here, some soy milk, and I can't have that either, because that also gives me, you know, which is, it's no good if you're a podcaster, you know. You can't be saying, hello, listeners, and welcome to the show. So, can't have that. I've got some Rice Dream here, which is rice milk, and I can drink that, but of course you can't put it into tea. So, there you go. And that's it for my festive fridge.
Hi, this is Kathy, wishing you a happy Christmas and a merry new year from the beautiful Berkshires of Western Massachusetts.
Hello, Mike. This is Mark from Hertfordshire, also known as Rock Hoppers, wishing you and all the rest of the patrons a very Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is Fiona from Market Harbour, England, just wanting to wish all my fellow Patreon sect listeners a wonderful Christmas and truly joyful New Year. Keep on recording, Mike, and Christmas greetings to all.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you too, Fiona, and to Mark, and to Kathy, and once again to all my guests on the show who have sent their messages in to share with you today. I'm very grateful to all of you for enlivening this podcast with other voices than just my own, and in the new year here on Patreon, I hope to be hearing more from you listeners as we resume those little Planet UNF segments that I used to do, get you to ask your own questions for Q&As, and some other ideas that I've got that I'm sort of still cooking. And speaking of cooking, here comes Mr. Yip, fresh from his pie adventure. Yes, you're looking awfully pleased with yourself, aren't you? And hark, here's my wife, back home from wherever the hell she's been. Hello, dear.
Hello, and hello to you, Mr. Yip. What did he say?
He said he's made some mince pies. We tried to eat them, but they were so delicious, we thought we'd save some for you. Save quite a few of them, in fact. Here, have one.
What's that? Is that cream?
It's actually melted ice cream.
And that brown liquid, is that some kind of chocolate?
Yes, meaty chocolate, actually. Gravy. Mr. Yip made them. He's very proud of them, aren't you, Mr. Yip?
Well, I ate lunch earlier. I'm not really hungry.
Oh, go on, dear. It is Christmas, after all.
Well, I suppose it is. Yes. Here goes, then. These are delicious. Are you sure this is meat? It tastes like proper mince pie filling. And that is chocolate sauce. And that is cream.
Wait a minute. You mean... Here, let me try that. They are real mince pies. Mr. Yip, you must have switched them. Those minced meat pies with ice cream were just a practical joke on me, weren't they? Why, you clever little chap. Making two kinds of pies. You made a right fool out of me, didn't you? But that's okay. After all, it is Christmas. And that cream is so nice too.
Aren't you supposed to be avoiding dairy products at the moment, Mike?
Yes, I am. But these pies are so good. Just a little one hurt, will it? After all, dairy. It is Christmas. I can always give it up in the new year. And so, that's all we have time for on this Patreon Christmas Sometime Special, listeners. Thanks to all my guests for their messages. Thanks to Mr. Yip for the pies. Thanks to my wife for reminding me that I can't actually eat them. And, of course, thanks to you for listening. I'll be back in your ears next week. But until then, Happy Christmas, Feliz Navidad, Joyeux Noël, Frohe Weihnachten, and, as they say here in Ireland sometimes... Noleg honodoiv. I bet I said all of those wrong, but you get the message. Sometimes, an occasional podcast with me, Mike Bennett. This podcast has been brought to you today by you. Yes, you, and all my other sponsors at Patreon. Thank you for supporting me, and never forget that everything I produce from now on, be it on paper or on podcast, is as a result of your contribution. Yeah! Woo! Yeah! I did a mini fist pump there, but obviously you couldn't see it.